Welcome into Stackin' Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Thanks for tuning in today to talk about something that we've talked about a zillion times already, and that is a potential blockbuster trade built around Jonathan Kuminga. And for another familiar name, this time again, it is Trey Murphy and our one Jake Fisher, who has, I got to give him kudos. He's done a good job basically reporting the same story about Kuminga for, 15, 20 articles now over the last 2 months. And he's finding new ways to say the same thing. But maybe there's a little bit of a new spark in negotiations. Yes, we're talking about that this time the Warriors have not only interest in Trey Murphy, but they quote unquote really have interest. And I'm really unenthused this is anything new, because it seems like the Warriors have just more or less probably just made a call to the Pelicans saying, hey, is Murphy available? And I would assume the Pelicans are either saying no, or it's going to essentially cost you, call it, 3, 4, 5 first round picks, and the asking price is just way too much. That's all I can really think of, because if it's anything less than that, the Warriors are stupid to not be jumping on it. And let me just kind of back up a little bit to all you guys are saying, no, you can't trade all the picks and you got to have something for the future. You've heard me say it on this channel several times. I'm not too concerned about a future post Steph Curry. I'm here to win, right? If you're not first, you're last. And Steph Curry is the one and only chance that the Warriors have at winning another title. We owe it to him. We owe it to his legacy. We owe it to this just kind of last couple years of this potentially championship window to go for it. What's the point of saving all this, I'm going to use the O word, optionality in terms of draft picks, salary cap space for 2027 and beyond, all these just kind of options that you're giving yourself, and look where it's gotten you. You've missed out on any major free agent signings short of Jimmy looking and backing into Jimmy Butler, who, I mean, we all know that that wasn't even plan A or B at one point, and it just kind of worked out that way at the last minute. Miami was desperate and we had just missed on Durant. Anyways, the Warriors are just basically stuck sitting on all their picks and basically in middle territory for when Steph does retire, or even in his year 40, 41, 42 year season, if we're lucky enough to see him play, that they're just, it looks like they're just hoping that a Giannis or a Jokic will just say, hey, I want to go play with Steph in his final years. And then problem solved, you have a fairy tale ending, you get your next torch holder to the dynasty or to the Warriors at least, and maybe you get another run with Steph. And that's just hoping and living on a prayer. There, in my mind, that's not a reasonable nor sane way to operate your franchise, especially one that's built in this 2-year window. So if we can agree that it is a 2-year window, maybe a 3-year window, what are we talking about? Draft picks, look, I mean, we had the number 2 overall pick. We had the number 7 overall pick. We had the number 14 overall pick. You swung and missed on Wiseman. You swung and foul-tipped on Kuminga, and this could be a swing and miss if you just lose him to the qualifying offer. You fouled off Moody. I mean, you can call Moody whatever you want. It wasn't a base hit. At best, you live to fight another day with him. Those are 3 lottery picks, and you can't consider that much value. And the amount of time it took you to even see those through, how much value did you really even have in those picks? How much faith do you have in the Warriors to pick well again with their 2029, 2030, and 2031 picks? I don't have that much faith. And even if you do, you're still entering a rebuilding process. You're post-Steph. You may or may not attract another major free agent. And you're just in no man's land. And my last point on that is just that look at the Thunder. Look at the Spurs. Look at the Rockets. Those teams are going to be close to untouchable for the Warriors if they aren't already when you fast forward to not 3 years down the line. So that's why I go back to what I'm saying, and that the move was to package picks, 2 first-round picks, maybe even 3 first-round picks with Kuminga, and go get a difference maker that upgrades you, that fits your roster, and gives you a chance to make a Western Conference championship run, a finals run, gives you a chance to compete. I think we can all agree that this team, as currently assembled, without getting any better, probably not a championship team. At best, maybe they get out of the second round. We don't know what would have happened if Steph Curry didn't get injured against Minnesota. I have a hard time believing they would have got past OKC in the conference finals. You need to get better. Coming back with the same lineup and adding Horford and Melton and Seth Curry probably isn't putting you over the top. So a move not, needs to be made. And that's not even including the fact that, hey, you might lose Kuminga for nothing at this point. Chances are, if he hasn't agreed to any of these other counter offers that you put forth earlier this week, he's not going to agree to them now. And you are either going to have to overpay him, you're going to have to either give him a player option, you're going to have to do something that makes his contract potentially unfavorable and untradeable if he underperforms it. And now you're stuck with him anyways. So what's the plan here? What are we hoping? Qualifying offer, you lose him for nothing. Sign him to a contract that's not better than the terms that we've already offered to him. You risk a bad contract and now you're just stuck with him and you have the same team for the rest of the Steph Curry window. You need to trade Kuminga and you need to upgrade. And the only way to do that is to include your first round picks. And you have a chance to get a very, very good player, an up and coming player. Let's talk about Trey Murphy. Trey Murphy is 25 years old. He's maybe a year older than Kuminga. Plenty of upside. He's already started his upswing in his career. 21 points per game last year, up from 14.8 the year before that, a 7-point increase. If that's not screaming breakout and basically doing what Kuminga is known for and his biggest strength in terms of scoring, Trey Murphy's already doing that and then some. On top of that, he can handle, he can pass and play make, even averaging about, call it like 3.5 assists last year. He can play a little bit of defense. I think he career high 1.1 steals, 0.7 blocks, gives you rim protection better than Kuminga does. Oh, by the way, he's 6'8" and athletic as heck. He can get to the free throw line, something we know made a huge difference for the Warriors once Jimmy Butler came last year. He gets to the free throw line about 4.5 times a game, and he knocks him down at an 88% clip. Hey, you're rivaling Steph Curry and giving him a little push at the for the free throw championship on the team, for the free throw title on the team, and maybe even across the league. I think he shot like 90, yeah, he shot 90.5% his sophomore season, did Trey Murphy. So that's even better than maybe Jordan Poole in one of those years. Oh, and then lastly, did I mention that he can space the floor and he can shoot threes? That is the one skill that we all know Kuminga does not provide, and it's the reason why he doesn't fit, and he's a ball stopper, and he just doesn't space the floor. Because of that, you're extremely limited with Steph Curry having to operate in small amounts of space, and it's just so much more taxing on him. And that's why you need more playmaking and you need more spacing. Murphy, a 38.3% 3-point shooter in his career. Down a little bit last year because he was having to force and take tougher and more difficult shots. He still shot 36% from three. And yeah, again, on very high volume, even one year he shot over 40%. Again, that was his sophomore season. Lastly, he can rebound as a wing player, averaging over 5 rebounds a game for the last 2 seasons. On paper, seems pretty much like the ideal fit, and I don't know what much better you're expecting and holding all your picks and salary spots for, unless you're a true believer that Kuminga is going to get there. And if that's the case, then we wouldn't have gotten to this point already. Or B, that, and this is again, this is the only thing I could possibly think of that justifies how the Warriors have acted, is that at some point along the line, maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo, or as my wife just called him the other day, Antenna Cumpleaños. Giannis Antetokounmpo said, "Hey, I want to be a Warrior. I need to see it through in Milwaukee, but at some point before Steph retires, I want to come to Golden State." If that's the case, then I can understand why the Warriors have played it the way they have to a degree. That all being said, it's not happening this next year, and it's probably not happening the year after that. And at that point, it's probably too late. So let's sail on that pipe dream. No, Jokic is not coming to us either. You had dreams of Durant. He didn't want to return for whatever reason. You need to make do with this sinking ship that is the Kuminga contract and the Kuminga roster spot before you lose him for nothing. And then you're truly out of options at that point. So what do you do when you're truly out of options? You cut bait a little bit early and you get what you can. And if what you can get is Trey Murphy, a potential all-star who will be an all-star as soon as maybe even next year, who probably was a fringe all-star last year, plays two-way ball, and really is just a perfect guy to pass the torch to. And worst case scenario, you don't win in the next couple years. Hey, guess what? Trey Murphy's entering his 27, 28-year season in his prime, still on a 4-year contract. He just signed a 4-year extension, getting $112 million. And that's beautiful because on average, that's $28 million a year. The first year, it's only $25 million. If we're talking about what the trade would look like, well, let me back up. Basically, you're getting an all-star that can at least be your number one, or your number two, or 1B star going forward. And then if you want to pair him with, that Giannis or Jokic or whoever's going to come, now you already have a lot of leverage going forward to the future, and it's still on a good contract. Much more likely for Trey Murphy to be a franchise pillar than hitting on someone in the draft with whatever pick you might have in a couple years. Okay, so all that being said, what the trade would have to look like is I'm imagining it is obviously, but to meet that $25 million, we're going back to that base year compensation thing with Kuminga. Assume the Pelicans or a third team are willing to pay him 25. Sounds like $22 million has been the offers he's gotten from the Suns and Kings. We'll call it 22 million. That's 11 off the books towards matching salary. You probably have to include Moses Moody at 12 million. That gets you to 23. That makes this trade work. On top of that, you have to throw in picks. I would guess that the Pelicans, if they're playing hardball, are going to want 3 first-round picks. Maybe you're trying to get 2 first-round picks and a second or a swap if you're the Warriors. I think if that's the case, do it. I know it's steep, guys, but for all the reasons I already said earlier about the picks and just the future and going for it now, I think if they need 3 first-round picks, if it were me, I would just do it. Maybe I'm being impatient. Maybe I just want to see Steph chase one more ring. Maybe I don't care about 3 years down the line from now because we'll be a middling team anyways, and you're going to have to go through a rebuilding process, whether you like it or not. Those are the reasons why I pulled the trigger, and let's just go for it. You're going to lose Kuminga. You have to make a move. You have to roll the dice at some point. Are you really rolling the dice on a player that you know will help you and you know will make you a top 3-4 team in the West, at least based on like Las Vegas betting odds? Warriors would instantly be contenders, probably a top 6-7 team in the odds to win it all, maybe even a bit better, and probably a bit better. Throw the dice, make it happen. If it needs to be a three-team trade, there's the other one I saw was basically that same idea, but you're now sending like Moody to the Jazz, and the Jazz send Kevin Love back to us in that deal too. So you're getting Murphy and Love to make this deal work. There's a few different like hoops and bounds you can use here. And again, it depends on if the Pelicans even want Kuminga or they would just reroute him and just take the picks. So options here, right? Maybe you get the Kings involved and Malik Monk has to go somewhere and his contract. But all that being said, the framework of the deal should be something that the Warriors are, quote unquote, really exploring. And if you are really serious about giving Steph Curry a chance, about not losing Kuminga for nothing, and about potentially adding the next torchbearer to your team, you need to really include these first round picks. It's unfortunate that this is what it's taken to actually for the Warriors to think about including the picks, but I mean, we explored it all summer and, since the trade deadline, saying that the move that needed to be made was attaching it and upgrading for a blockbuster type player. All right, I can't beat a dead horse anymore, guys. That's the move. That's what I'm going with. Tell me whether you agree or not. I know it's a steep price, but at this point, the downside is so much more. And if you just get stuck in no man's land, I would say that's a worse purgatory than at least taking a swing and maybe hitting it out of the park. All right, I'll be back with more news next time. I'm Chris Chin. Give me a like, subscribe, follow. Love you all. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.